out okay? They'd be less critical and demanding of other people. They would be more easily entreated, more willing to overlook one another's weaknesses. But most people live without a clue as to what lies ahead for mankind in the future. Most live with an absence of understanding, and without that, there's hopelessness. There's despair. There's apathy that seems to be growing and growing in society today. That in turn brings about all sorts of social and economic problems as people become more discontented, more desperate for something positive to change in their lives. But most people, they're just going to continue on as if this is all there is. We're just the result of some random selection in the evolutionary process, and we're all doomed to the fate that we're bringing on ourselves. It really is a hopeless and purposeless feeling that we see settling over the lives of people. Many go to extreme lengths to try to escape the reality of their lives. Many just put it out of their minds. If I don't think about it, it's not real. They live for the moment, hoping that some way, somehow, the reality is going to change, but it won't. Is it any wonder that countless millions in the world have little or no hope for themselves or for the world? Little hope to have good health. Little hope to have a government without corruption. Little hope for peace and nonviolence in our societies. Little hope for getting out of abject poverty that most of this world lives in. Little hope that man is going to be able to solve his problems. The reason for this lack of hope is because people see little or nothing that indicates anything will change these corrupt, violent, and abject human conditions that are so prevalent in the world. Many educated and knowledgeable people realize things haven't changed in reality in centuries. And the problems that man faces have only gotten more complex and more difficult. The countless unfulfilled New Year resolutions will only continue, and man's quest for peace will remain elusive. As the Word of God reveals, humanity's efforts to solve our problems are doomed to end in failure. While many people on the earth truly do desire peace and prosperity, the god of this world, Satan the devil, is going to continue to influence the hearts of people to satisfy themselves and ignore their fellow man. We're going to see the quest for power and control over others' lives grow worse and worse as a hope for so many simply ceases to exist. You know, every one of us, we have to have hope. We have to have hope if we're going to live stable lives with purpose. You see, without hope, we feel helpless. We feel empty. We don't have focus. We don't have meaning in our lives. And when we feel so empty, when we've got such a big hole in our life, we're setting ourselves up for something else to fill that gap, for another person or some drug or maybe alcohol to give us a false sense of hope. Our lives can be so empty, so hopeless, that we even begin doubting if God loves us. That doesn't always go well, does it? But you and I, we don't have to go down that path in our lives. God, through Jesus Christ, has provided a better way, a way of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice here in 1 Thessalonians 4 the astonishing words inspired to give us hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amazing words. These words should give hope. They should give comfort to God's people, knowing that we desire and God desires for us to be there to meet Christ in the air and then to rule with Him on this earth in the kingdom of God. That's not a pipe dream. That's reality. We have to believe this at the depth of our being. We have to. 1 Corinthians 15, back just a few pages, Paul expands on this amazing truth of what you and I can hope for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. This is a resurrection chapter. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, which we all are now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. We know that God has revealed to us that a better world is coming. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Now, our hope is not in this world. Our hope is not in our physical lives. Our hope and affection has to be set on the eternal things of God, not the things of this present evil world. We can't be fixated on our own miserable state, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard it is for any of us. Remember what Christ, the very Son of God, what He endured for us, for you, for me. The question, what are we willing to endure for Him? And you see, this hope that you and I have, it's not just for ourselves. God wants us to offer that hope to the world around us. And we do that in proclaiming the gospel of that kingdom to as God makes opportunities available to us. The hope we offer to this world, it isn't a hope of empty promises like the politicians have. It isn't hope placed in the misguided teachings of this world's religions. It is a hope. It is a hope that we can offer to the world that can give them abundant living in a way that they don't even imagine. We have to be providing a vision of hope, real hope, and we have to be reflecting that hope where? In our lives. That's where it has to be seen. If we expect our family, our friends, husbands, wives, whatever, our children, if we expect our neighbors to be filled with that same hope, then they have to see, they have to witness that hope in us. They won't see it anywhere else except in us. The Bible shows us God's purpose and plan for our lives. People don't know that. They don't have that right now. We do. God shows us that He will redeem our lives through the life and death of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave is among the most, probably the most important truth that any of us could possibly know. You see, without that knowledge, without that belief, without that hope, we have no hope. The resurrected Christ can and has changed our life. His life in us today can lift the discouragement and the emptiness from our life. His life can fill us with positive purpose, with real hope, with enduring courage, something we can't do for ourselves. Now, it's our choice whether we allow Jesus Christ to live within us or not. He assures us in John 14:18 that He's not going to leave us orphans. He says He will come to us. He will come to us. How does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit, through His Spirit that He places within us. The Apostle Paul admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. He says, put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. What does this mean? A helmet as a hope of salvation. Think about a helmet. A helmet covers the entire head, doesn't it? And just as it covers over our heads, this hope of salvation has to permeate our minds and our hearts. Hope allows each one of God's faithful servants, those who endure to the end, it allows us to keep what lies ahead of us, to keep it burning brightly within us, in our minds and our hearts. We never lose sight of that hope. It's always with us. It's always in us, no matter what we're dealing with in our lives. That hope is there. There's a saying, and you've all heard this, you are what you think. Well, I like this saying a little better. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. In other words, sometimes we deceive ourselves. But God is never deceived. You see, there's an intimate relationship between our thoughts and hope. Did you ever think about that? Hope cannot be nourished in an environment that is permeated through and through with negative thoughts. It can't be there. Hope is based on faith. Faith and hope are diminished in an atmosphere of unbelief, in an attitude of hopelessness. But we have hope. Why do we have hope? We have hope because we believe, we have faith in the One who has promised to give us all good things. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hope is nurtured by faith in the Word of God. Hope is nurtured by faith in what God's Word tells us. John 6:63 says, Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they're life. When we take into our hearts and our minds the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, it gives us nourishment. It provides essential spiritual food to nourish us spiritually. This nourishment provides the mind with the right food for thought. It will give us hope. Hope we can hang on to at all times and in every circumstance. It's been said that faith and hope are handmaidens of victory and overcoming. Faith and hope are handmaidens of victory and overcoming. 1 John 5. What is it that enables you and I to overcome this world? 1 John 5, beginning in verse 4. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Notice, our faith. Our faith. Faith allows you and I to overcome everything that this world throws at us. You can try to stand against it on your own. And you might last a while, but not long. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's where our faith has to begin. We have to know, truly know, the Son of God. We don't just need to know what the world sees and says about the Son of God. We need to know the Son of God. The depth of our being, we should know him. Add to this Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Back a few pages to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. Paul writes here in Romans 8, 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, notice, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory that will be revealed in you and in me. What is this glory? Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. When it is revealed to all of humanity, to all of creation, that you and I and those who have gone before us and after us are the sons of God. What a small, unique, precious group we really are. It's a glory we're going to receive at the time when we are born into the very family of God at the resurrection. How do we receive this glory? We'll see that in just a minute. Galatians 5:5 tells us that we, through the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit in us, says we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, again, by faith. Hope of righteousness by faith. Faith and hope center on believing God and doing what He says and keeping our eyes on the goal He puts before us. Paul said in Philippians 3:14 that he pressed toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hope requires that kind of single-mindedness. We cannot be filled with hope and be double-minded, with doubt, with fear. That won't work. Hope requires wholeheartedness. God has promised to strengthen our minds and hearts if we place our hope in Him with our whole heart. Psalms 31:24 says, be of good courage, He shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Not in ourselves, not in man, not in this world, but hope in God. This is a foundation for hope in our life. That Christ rose from the dead and lives today at the right hand of God as our high priest. His life makes possible our hope of eternal life with God. God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory, as it says in Hebrews 2, verse 10. To share His spiritual life with those that He created. You see, life has a purpose. And that purpose is for us to inherit eternal glory as a child of God, as a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. That's what our future is going to be. Notice how Paul describes this over in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh with what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to you, to me, to his saints. He is the hope of glory. He is the hope of the glory that you and I are yet to receive. It's why Christ lived and died as a sacrifice for us, that we might share in the glory of a spirit life with God forever, forever. By becoming flesh, dying, and being resurrected, Jesus Christ paved the way for our future eternal life. This truth is the bedrock anchor of our hope as we live these physical lives. Ephesians. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. Here in Ephesians 3, Paul is writing to the Gentile converts in Ephesus. Let's go down to verse 8 of Ephesians 3. Excuse me. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. See the job we've got? By the church to the principalities and powers to heaven in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. Don't become hopeless. Don't become down and out. Don't lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. When we see brethren suffer, and brethren have suffered down through the ages, he says, it's our glory. Think about how it is our glory. When we see brethren suffering for Christ's sake, it emboldens us, it strengthens us to stand firm in our own belief, in our own faith, and not to give in. Verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amazing. Amazing. To be filled with all the fullness of God. To know and comprehend the glory of God through Jesus Christ. This is a hope that can and will sustain us in this world. We just can't doubt. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is built on the truth that we are saved by the life of Jesus Christ. Because of that hope, we can have a deep inner peace, a peace that can truly change our whole life. Paul continues here in verse 2. He says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the hope of the glory of God. You and I have been given. All of it is undeserved, of course, but we have been given the privilege to stand, to now stand confidently and joyfully looking forward to sharing in God's glory. If that doesn't give us hope, nothing will. And it is through Jesus Christ that that is possible. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul again calls Christ our hope. Christ, our hope. God's Word also reveals that the return of Jesus Christ is going to usher in hope for all of humanity. For all of humanity. Hope that will save man from destroying himself. The hope that Jesus Christ will bring is a new government based on the spiritual laws of God, administered by those who God calls now, in this life, to qualify to rule with Christ in that kingdom. Our hope in the kingdom of God is something you and I have right now. Isaiah 2. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah was given many prophecies, many visions of that world that is yet to come. And here in Isaiah 2, we began to see the beginning of that glorious government that's coming to this earth. Isaiah 2, verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We read in the prophecies of the glorious time in the future when most people will choose to seek understanding and direction from their Creator. Understanding of His law. Understanding of how it applies to our lives. We can't even imagine what a change that's going to make in humanity. Verse 4 says, He shall judge between nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Guess what? People are going to have hope. Real hope. They won't need war. They won't need conflict. They won't need ruling over one another. They're going to have hope in the glory of God. Psalms 146:5 plainly states, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Again, our hope can't be in ourselves. It can't be in man. It has to be in God. Man disappoints. God never does. It's important that we maintain this hope. We have to grasp it. We have to hold on to it. Never let it go. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 13, understand how vital to know and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. What value is empty faith? Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they're perished. There's no future for them. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men, most pitiful, miserable. You know, this life isn't all there is. Thankfully, And we know that because we have a hope in another world, a hope in a better life. We look around at the sorrow and the suffering in the world today. And we look at the world, we can only conclude this world's not fair. This world is not just. And as much as we and other people wish it was, it's beyond our powers at this present time to make it any better. It is only the hope we have that God will make things right in the world to come that allows us to patiently endure the trials and suffering in this life. One last scripture in the Old Testament. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. We know and we believe these words that God gives to us through His prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. We read these, we never can doubt them. Jeremiah 29, 11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." He has thoughts of peace. He has thoughts of peace and not of evil. He says to give you a future and a hope. That's what God wants to do. He wants to give us a future that is filled with hope. "Then you will call upon me and I will and go and pray to me and I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search with me for me with your whole heart." God wants to give us hope. He wants to give us a future. The reality in this mortal life is that many things can rob us of hope for a better and brighter world tomorrow. We can't ignore or dismiss. That's just a fact of life. But we have to remember that we need to hope in order to endure. If we don't hope, we won't endure. For we're all aware of what must be endured in this unjust and imperfect world. And it is only the blessed hope of the resurrection of glory, of the hope of salvation, of the blessings of God for obedience and patience. That's the only thing that's going to give us strength we need to rise up and go about our life day after day. Let's not be as others who have no hope. Let's remember that God, who cannot lie, has promised that we will be raised incorruptible to reign as kings and priests, as part of His eternal family, if we endure to the end. We can live our lives in an abundance of hope, and we can do that by and through Jesus Christ. Remember, He is our hope of glory. So let's keep that helmet of the hope of salvation firmly covering our hearts and minds. It's the only real hope that this world has.